This year, because we're working with a very different kind of text than we normally work with. We've been working with Agadot Chazal for a while. We normally work with parts of Tanakh, and today we're going to look at a piece of Tefillah. The piece of Tefillah, I want to give you the background behind this, because right now, and as I speak, like today, Wednesday, July 19th, there is mini brouhaha brewing on the internet about this. Well, all in good spirit and all in good with respect and all. And you'll see in a few moments what that's about. On Tisha B'Av, there is an addition to one of the brachot we make in Shmona Esrei, and that is an addition in the bracha of Yerushalayim. And it is very much in the spirit of taking any one of the brachot that we say in Shmona Esrei and adding to it as per a seasonal need. We do that all winter when we add to the Berachat Hashanim and we add a request for rain. If you've ever seen the Nusach of Edot HaMizrach, it's a whole page. It's not just two words, Talamatar. It's a whole different bracha. we do it regularly in Shomei Tefillah. We do it, many of us do it, in the bracha of Rifa'enu, when we have particular people we know who are ill, and we'll add names in there. But the reality is that in any of the 13 bakashot, according to halacha, we are not only allowed to, but we are encouraged to add in small additions that are appropriate for that bracha, things going on that connect with that sort of, with that bracha and that theme. And as a result of that, we have the following passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. It's passage 1. Yachid b'tisha ba'av tzarich lazkir me'ein ha-me'ora. Now, me'ein ha-me'ora is a halachic term used in the Tosefta, which means something about the event of the day. All right, so Yal HaViyavo is referred to as me'ein ha-me'ora. Al HaNisim is referred to as me'ein ha-me'ora. So an individual in tisha ba'av, what does individual mean? It sounds like, as opposed to the Shliach Tzibur, has to say me'ein ha-me'ora. It may mean in addition, or even beyond the Shliach Tzibur. Mahu Omer, and this is the language of the Rishalmi that we have, Rachem, Hashem Elokein, Rachamecha, Rabim, Uvachasadecha, Hane'emanim, Alein of Al Yisrael, Amecha, B'Shalem, Rechav, Yeltsin, Mishkan, Kvodecha. By the way, so far, what does that sound like? It sounds very close to the third bracha of Benchik, right? Keep that in mind. V'Alair ha'avelah ha'arusah ha'shomema. And for the city which is mourning, which is destroyed, and which is desolate, Hanetuna biyad zarim, that is controlled by foreigners, harimusa b'chaf aritzim, that has been trampled by pillagers, vayvalu aligyonot, legions have swallowed it up, vayichalua ovdeif silim, and pagans have defiled it. Ki Yisraelim chanetata bi'ahavah lenachalau lezer yishurun yirushah horashta, it was our inheritance that you gave to us, ki ba'esh hechravta uva'esh atati livnota. You destroyed it by fire, and so you will eventually rebuild it by fire. Kamur, and quote the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Vani ayah lahem neum Adonai chomat esh, saviv ulechavod eyeh betocha. Now, notice that in this version, there is no chatima, which means the assumption is that you then say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim. In our version, we have an altered chatima, which, by the way, one of the answers to famous trivia question, what are the brachot that you only make one time a year? And one of them is, Menachem Tzion uvonei Yerushalayim. Now, this Yerushalmi does not mention what tefillah you would say it in, so just reading the Yerushalmi straight up, you would assume that in all three tefillot of Tisha B'Av, you would add, just like you add Al HaNisim, or you add Yal HaViyavo, and all the tefillot of that day. Okay? Take a look in here in the Shulchan Aruch, how he records it in Orach Chaim, in passage 2. B'Tisha B'Av Omer Bonei Yerushalayim, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu Tavilei Tzion, etc. You have a Sidur. V'anenu B'Shomei HaTefillah, and in Shomei HaTefillah, you say Anenu. Neither one of these are vital to Shmona Esrei, such that if you missed it, you'd go back. You don't go back. Right? Now, at this point, Shulchan Aruch just says you say it in Tefillah. Right? Haga Pashut, this is the Ramaz gloss. She'en omim nachem rak b'tefillat mincha shel tisha b'av. And this is something that shows up first in some of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, that it should only be said at mincha, not in every Tefillah. And the reason given is, there is a tradition among several that the fires of the second Mikdash really took hold in the middle of the day of Tisha B'Av, which is part of the reason that we practice some morning practices until midday of the 10th. And that even though our practices really lighten in the afternoon, we sit up, we put on tefillin, etc., that's our minhag, nonetheless, from a perspective of the violence wrought, the afternoon seems to be worse. He says that's when you would say Nachem, and Nachem makes mention of the fire that destroyed the Mikdash. That's the reasoning he gives. There is a machloket poskim about whether it's said in every one of the tefillot or it's said only in mincha. Our custom is to say it in mincha. Okay.
Isn't that time of day also the only time that's really common to the...
Well, not really, because we do not know when the first Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. We have the 7th of Av, we have the 10th of Av in the Nevi'im, and even the 9th of Av in the second Mikdash is a little bit problematic because of several statements we have about Rebbe and what he attempted to do with Tisha B'Av 150 years later, whether it's really the 10th of Av. So the timing is a little bit unclear, but Tisha B'Av, that's something we talked about in years past, became sort of pigeonholed, kind of focused in as the day in which we commemorate all of our suffering, and that's why, for instance, there was a very strong move. I remember this is something that when Menachem Begin Zal became prime minister, he bandied about with the Rav Zatzal about whether or not to make Tisha B'Av also Yom HaShoah, put the focus on that. But I want to focus on the issue of Nachem, because if you read the bracha as it shows up in the Yerushalmi, the entire focus of the bracha is on the city. There's no mention of the Mikdash here. You see it? The city, have compassion for the city, etc. Tzion Mishkan Kevodecha, Tzion, which is the residing place of your glory, but it's the mourning city, the city that's destroyed, the city that is under foreign control, etc. Okay? Now, this becomes a little bit of a problem. Turn the page for a minute and look at the right side. The right side is the nusach you'll find in your Ashkenazi Sidur, depending which Sidur it is. Right? And it reads as follows. And this is a reworking slightly. Nachem, not Rachem. By the way, the Ramah says, not here, but yeah, the Ramah says it here in Source 2, that if you eat on Tisha B'Av, you say Nachem in benching. Right? So there are some poskim who say what that means is you say the third bracha, but instead of the word Rachem, you say Nachem. And other people say that you actually add, you don't say this whole Nachem thing, but that you Nachem instead of Rachem, or that you actually add this whole thing in. Now take a look at the Nusach as we have it, as it will be said in a little less than 2 weeks throughout Ashkenazi shuls worldwide. Nachem Hashem Elokeinu et Aveli Tzion. And notice the shift in the focus, a little bit of a shift. Et Aveli Yerushalayim, the mourners of Tzion, mourners of Yerushalayim. V'ta'ir ha'avela v'chariva, the mourning and destroyed city. Ha'bezuya v'shomema, the despoiled and desolate city. And now we get the expansion on it. In other words, topic words, and now the expansion. Ha'avela, why is the city mourning? Mibli vaneha, because her children are not there. Ha'chareva, she's destroyed. Mimonoteha, all of her residences are destroyed. Ha'bezuya, degraded. Mikvoda, from its glory. Va'shomema me'en yoshev, it's desolate, nobody lives there. So we're taking these four words and now expanding and saying that's what Yerushalayim looks like. Right? When was Nachem composed? We don't know, but we find it in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So we would assume some composition in the second or third century in the Galil. Okay. V'hi yoshevet v'rosha chafui. The city sits with its head covered like a mourner. And the image here is taken from Echa, of the mourning woman sitting. The mourning widow. Ki isha akarasha lo yalada, like a barren woman who's never given birth, which of course is a mixed metaphor which we do all the time, with the barren woman who's never given birth and all his kids died. So put it together. Vaivaluha legionot, again, legions, that's a Roman word, have despoiled or have swallowed her up. Verashua of Dev Silim, pagans have inherited it. Vayatilu atamcha Yisrael Acherev, and they've taken your nation and put us to the sword. They've killed deliberately great pious people. Al kein Tzion v'mar tivke. So Tzion cries bitterly. Shalom tein kolay. Shalom gives its voice. Libi libi al chaleim. Mayamei al chaleim. I put in quote marks because that's what in the tefillah we're saying. Yerushalayim is saying, my heart. And this is a paraphrase from Yirmiyahu. My heart for their dead. My insides. So everything's aching because of because of the dead. Again, that sentiment, you destroyed it with fire, so you will rebuild it with fire, and the pasuk from Yeshayahu, and then the end, Menachem Tzion Uvonei Yerushalayim. Okay. I'll tell you a story. I have, for quite a few years, been very bothered by this tefillah. I'm bothered by this tefillah for one reason, which is two. I'm very bothered by saying you have a desolate city where children aren't there and it's under the rule of foreigners, etc., because it's, Baruch Hashem, not the reality. On a different level, it's also, in a sense, ignoring great, not in a sense, it is ignoring great kindnesses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the city and given us control and everything else, and we're saying, oh, we're still... And so you could say, okay, but that's the nusach of tefillah. That's what we say. That's the nusach. So you take a look back on page one. There is a pasuk which is not isolated, but is one that the poskim have kind of hooked onto. In Tehillim, talks about a rasha, about devious people. Lo yeshev b'kerav beiti oser miyah, that person who does devious things shall not live in my house. Dover shkarim lo yikon l'neged inai. One who speaks lies will not face me. God doesn't want to deal with a liar. Okay, we think there's somebody who's devious in business, etc. You find an interesting psak of the Magen Avraham, and it's one that we're familiar with. in Ne'ilah, and by the way, other postkim is in the box, says the same thing. In Ne'ilah, there is a passage. When do we start Ne'ilah, by the way? When do we start Ne'ilah? Has to be enough before Shkiyah to be able to do what? To get to Ptach Lanu Sha'ar before sunset. Right? Right? Ptach Lanu Sha'ar, which is a pizmon near the beginning of the repetition before sunset, as if the gates are closing. All right, let's take a look at the Magen Avraham. Hanusov Shkiyah, Shu'tzeda Kochavim, etc. And it says, עכשיו שנוהגים שממשיכים התפילה גם בלילה אין למחות בידן, סובים קריף, etc. צריך להיזהר להתחיל בעוד יום, וגם יאמר חרוז בהיום יפנה קודם הערב שמש. You have to make sure that you say, היום יפנה נבוא שעריך. The day is ending. Let us in before the day ends. The day is ending. Right? De'ilav can, because if not, then dover שקרים לפני השם. Essentially, you're standing in front of God and you're saying something that's not true. In other words, you're saying to him, please, let us in before the day's over. Guess what, guys? The day's over. Now, that's a very fine line. In other words, it's not like we're saying something that's ontologically untrue. We're just saying something that, you know, we missed a few minutes, but we're still saying the tefillah. He says, no, you got to make sure to say the tefillah on time, because otherwise it's like you're saying falsehoods before God. But it becomes a bigger issue, actually relating to a fast day. Shulchan Aruch says the following thing. What is the bracha that we add in? It's a bracha that we add in on a tanit zibur. Anenu. And it's a full bracha because it ends with brachat Hashem ha'oneh beit zara. And when do we add it in? Between geula and refuah. Who says it? Shliach zibur only. Right? Shliach zibur only says the bracha of anenu. Between geula and refuah, both in shachrit and mencha. What do we individuals say? Ari, we say it in Anenu, in Shema'at Tefillah, without a bracha, meaning we say it as an insertion into Shema'at Tefillah. Only at Mincha. Right? Why at Mincha? Take a look. Shulchan Aruch says we should only say it at Mincha. Why? Shema yochazeno bolmos. What might happen? You might have some stomach disease. You know, something happened, a person's fasting, and it's a word the Mishnah and Yoma use in the 8th Perek, and it's related to bulimia, by the way. And they'll have to eat. The same root. They'll have to eat. Right? V'nimtza shakran b'tfilato. In other words, if you say anenu, b'yom tzom ta'anitenu, in the morning, and then mid-morning you have to break your fast for medical reasons or whatever, then that means that you were lying in tefillah.
Well, not necessarily.
I'm saying what Shulchan Aruch says, and that's what we do in practice.
At the time you said it, you were fasting.
Yes. I agree. But notice what he says. In other words, I'm pointing out that in very fine lines, there's this notion, which we'll talk about in a minute, of making sure that your tefillot accurately reflect the reality. Since there's a notion of tanit sha'ot, there's a notion of fasting for half a day, halachically, therefore you could say, if a person said b'yom tzom tanitenu, and he fasted half a day, and in the afternoon he had to break his fast, at least it was accurate that he fasted half a day. But if he says it at shacharit, and then sometime mid-morning he has to eat, Shulchan Aruch is saying, and this is our practice, it's considered as if you were being false in front of God. That's what the language says. Aval shliach tzibur. So why does the shliach tzibur say it in the morning? Omro, yeah, and therefore, b'tfilat shacharit shumit pelo b'kol ram, she'ef shar shelo yitanu k'tzat me'akal. Somebody's going to fast the day. Somebody in the minyan is going to fast all day. So shliach tzibur is on behalf of all of them, he can say it. That's the way he explains it. All right? And then he says, Uva arbat somot, and this is not our practice. What are the arbat somot? Shorasa batamuz, Som Gedalia, Sarva Tevet, right? Anti Shabbav, right? Gam hayachid omro b'chol tfilotav. Right? Notice what he says. So what is he talking about? What fast is he talking about that you wait to mincha? That's a tanit tzibur, which is declared by the Beit Din because of some current need. Right? Drought, flood, war, pestilence, something like that. Right? The Mishnayot in Tanit. But he says, on one of the four fasts, you could even say it in Shachrit on your own.
Right, so what fast was he referring to in the beginning?
A Tanit Sibur, meaning a Tanit Sibur that's declared because of some current need. Why? Dafilu yachzenu bomos v'yochal sher shepele memor aneinu b'yom tzom ha-tanit hazeh. Because the phrase, in which he's playing, b'yom tzom ha-tanit hazeh, which is about not the way we say it. How do we say it? B'yom tzom ta'anitenu. But he says, since the wording is b'yom tzom ha-tanit hazeh, evidently that was the wording in the Arbat Somot, it's true that it's a fast day. There are people fasting. So even if I'm not fasting, my statement is not untrue. But notice how carefully he crafts it. He says, you cannot stand in front of God and say things that are untrue. So if what you're saying is, answer us on this day that we're fasting, you can only say it after you've gotten to a place where you could really say, for sure I fasted. But if you say, answer us on this day of fasting, then it's accurate because people are fasting. And if there's Shliach Tzibur, you could certainly do it because some people are fasting. But notice how careful, and this is throughout the poskim, there's just a couple examples, this tremendous care of making sure that when you're standing in tefillah, your words are reflecting a reality, and you're not saying falsehoods before God. And it says, good. And then the Ramah says, v'naigu b'chol atzamot shlo lomor ki memincha v'ad shliach tzibur. The Ramah says, our minhag. Our minhag is that we only say aneinu in mincha, even on the four tzamot, even on Tisha B'Av. We don't say anything in shachrit. We don't say nachem, we don't say aneinu, right? Regular shachrit. And the Baal Tefillah says aneinu in the Chazar HaShatz. Okay, so I have to tell you a question, tell you a story, right? Which is what leads to this, and I'm keeping a sharp eye on the clock here. Already in 1948, there were people who were starting to ask questions about Tisha B'Av. Only because a major, and I don't think there were serious suggestions about turning Tisha B'Av into Yemei Simcha, that's another sugya, and Rosh Hashanah will do some year, but there were people saying, like, to weaken some of it, because the fact is that we do have sovereignty. On the other hand, between 48 and 67, the focal point of Tisha B'Av was, in a sense, almost heightened in its tragedy, because I remember my parents used to go to, your parents probably the same thing, would go to Har Tzion, all the way from L.A. to Har Tzion, and climb up and take a peek and see the Kotel. Right? That was the best they could do. And the fact that we couldn't get there, and the fact that they were trashing the place, and everything else, in a sense, even heightened the pain of it. Almost like Rabbi Kiva and his colleagues seeing the foxes. Right? But in 1967, things changed dramatically. I'll tell you one mini story about that, and then move on. I have a dear teacher who taught for, he retired recently, he retired in Michalai, taught in Machon Herzog, taught in Hebrew University, brilliant man. And his father was the head of the Bible faculty at Bar Ilan, who was one of the two co-editors of the Dat Mikra series, Professor Yehuda Elitzur. And so Yoel, my teacher, told me the following. He said that he was at home in 67 for Tisha B'Av. And after they ate the meal, he went to sit on the ground and eat, you know, a little piece of bread and some ash, etc. And his father said, "Zeh kvar lo tzarich." It's like, okay, one step less of mourning is appropriate. And to be honest with you, ever since I heard that, I don't do it either. It's not only that it feels false to be mourning when there's less to mourn, but in a sense it feels very ungracious to God and unthankful to God. God's given us all of this, and we're ki'ilu, nothing's changed. It's like here we are back in Poland 200 years ago with the pogroms and everything else, and nothing's changed. Now, that leads to the next one. Last summer, every summer I'm in Alon Shavuot in Israel for Tisha B'Av, I'm always in Alon Shavuot, and we go in the morning, we leave right after the Haftarah, when keynotes start, it started with about three of us, now we have about 12 or 15, we go in a few cars to Yerushalayim, we go to the South Wall. And one of our friends, he's the one who leads this, Professor Avi Shpindman, who is a professor of piyut at Bar Ilan, and has composed quite a few piyutim for special occasions, teaches keynote. We sit around on the rocks, on the Herodian stones. It's an amazing thing. And he teaches one or two or three of the keynote, and looking at the sources and looking at the history of it, and then we say those keynote. And I'll be honest with you, saying three or four keynote that you understand, way better than 40 that you don't know. And then we sing Eli Tzion, and we get back for Mincha. So I go to Mincha Gedolah, and then take a rest, and I drive to Ranana, where I give a shiur at the end of the day. That's my Tisha. So last year, I came back, I went to the Yishuv, to Mincha, and a teacher, a friend of mine, who's significantly older than I am, and wiser, I'm sure, was sitting in front of me during Chazara Shatz, and the Baal Tefillah got to Bruchat Yerushalayim and started saying Nachem and Ha'ir Ha'avela Ha'bzuya Chareva, and I guess that his inhibitions were down, and he yelled Shakran, right? And then he said Dover Shkarim Lifnei Hashem, you're lying in front of God. And he was very upset. He wasn't upset because Tisha B'Av made him sad. He was upset because how can you sit down in front of God and say to God, our city is desolate with no children. The city of Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, is thriving unbelievably. Think of it even in perspective of how many yeshivot there are. How many places of learning Torah there are that are thriving in Yerushalayim, and to sit there and say in front of God, the desolate city mourning without her children, eaten up by the enemy, it's ignoring a reality. And it hit home for me because I had a lot of the same sentiments, but I said, like, you know, asmas, it's still part of the tefillah. But then being sensitized to the fact that there is a very strong halachic consideration of making sure that your tefillot are accurate to where things are at. You can't say, please bless us this day if it's nighttime. You can't say, please answer us on this fast day if it's on a fast day, if you're not fasting. You can't just say the words. The words have to reflect the reality. My father, Shalom, used to say, if your mincha is the same as your shachrit, you're not davening. Because you had a whole day in there. So your feeling, not the words, the feeling of what you're saying in mincha must be different because you've had a whole day to experience stuff, or half a day. And it should be reflected in your mincha. That's all about the feeling. But the words have to reflect it. So I gave Professor Shmidman a call. And he and I and another colleague, Rabbi Spitz, who at the time was finishing his tour of duty as chief rabbi of Uruguay, sat down to work on Nachem. And what you see on the left-hand side of the page is a Nachem that we worked on over really most of a year at several meetings and via email, etc., and Google Docs, several versions of it. Until finally we came with this one and actually today really publicized it in several forums. And those forums led to a lot of interesting discussions and reactions from colleagues. Now I just want to read it for you and show what it means. There's also one other little vignette that led to the wording. Is, as I told you, every year we go down to the, and you're all welcome to join us, we go down to the South Wall, you know, where the Davidson Architecture Gardens are, and we go through there, and we go and sit on the stones. For 2 years, not last year, but the year before and the year before that, we weren't allowed to go in. We've been doing this for 6, 7 years, I think, or 8 years. We weren't allowed to go in because our neighbors were throwing stones up there. We have neighbors like that. And it led to somebody kind of smirkingly say that maybe Motagur should have said, Harbayit Biyadenu? In other words, not as a statement, but as a question. In other words, here's Harbayit. So, okay, we can't go up. I understand all the politics about that, but we can't go and sit at the foot of the Harbayit because they're going to throw stones at us. You know, who's running?
Doesn't that answer your whole question?
But it doesn't. Because it's
obvious.
Because exactly, and therefore the entire focus really is about Harbayit. What is it that we're missing?
That's why you changed it.
Exactly. That's that. I'm not saying Chas v'Shalom. I'm saying the focus has to be shifted to what we're really missing. What we're really missing is Harbayit. Yerushalayim is Biyadeinu. Harbayit is not. Harbayit is what we're missing. Not just Harbayit is not. In that sense, but in the larger sense of there's no mikdash.
There's nice restaurants, cafes, Machane Yehuda Shok, and that's Biyadeinu. That's it.
It's a beautiful. That's not. That's it.
Restaurants with hotels. Harbayit.
And Batei Midrash.
Epicenter of.
But that's not what the.
Life.
Fine. But that's not what the words say. Look at the words on the right. Look at the words on the right, and what are they? The words on the right are about a city that is controlled by enemies. That's talking about the mikdash. That's the one line.
That's
great, but But the rest of it, what's it about?
Look at obviously.
Yes. Is Yerushalayim a morning... One second. Is Yerushalayim a morning city? Is Yerushalayim a city without its children? Is Yerushalayim a city controlled by foreigners? How can you say that?
Where's my embassy?
What?
Where's my embassy? Where's the right to go on the Har Habayis? Forget that mikdash.
Okay, good. We can...
The right to sit outside.
Fine. Let me... I'd like...
My streets safely?
I'm watching the clock. All right. Take a look at this tzedakah. Okay. Good. Right? What?
You have
10. Okay. So, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu. So, it's the same way. Et Avelei Beit Kodshecha. People are mourning for the Beit HaMikdash. Vet Nemnei Tzion Irecha. People who are loyal to your city. HaKmehim L'Shirat Shechinatacha. What are we longing for? We're longing for your Shechinah to come back. Ad Matai Teshev Moriah. And the image is that the mountain is sitting mourning. That's the image that we have from Echa. And it's also from this bracha. From the original earlier version, umlala, bereft, vzuya, degraded, tzoeket, crying out, umitchanenet. And the idea is that the mountain is crying with us, which is the imagery of Eicha and the imagery of so much of the keynote of the mountain and the stones all crying with us, or we're crying with them. And what is it that we're crying? So we deliberately telescoped out. Dvir daveh. This is piyut. I mean, these guys really know how to write piyut. Dvir daved. The dvir is the Kodesh Kadoshim. The dvir mourns. Hechan kruvai. Where are my kruvim? Right? Hechal homer. Hechal is the Beit HaMikdash. Murmurs. Hechan nerotai. Where are my candles? Where are my menorah? Ariel. What's Ariel? Ariel is the Mizbeach. That's in Yechezkel. Ariel. And the city is called Ariel because of the Mizbeach. Hoy Ariel, Ariel, which is in Yeshaya Chavtet, is because of the Mizbeach. Ariel Shoeg. So why Shoeg? Because the lion roars. Hechan Ishai. Where are my burnt offerings? Azara Zoeket. The Azara, the courtyard, is screaming, Hechan Kohanai. Where are my Kohanim? Vehahar Bamar Bochen. The entire mountain is bitterly crying, Hechan Banai. Where are my sons? And I was thinking about that. We wrote it much earlier. I was thinking about it this week when that attack happened. Hechan Banai. And now my Banai come up and they get shot. Okay, they were Jews, but they're, you know, Banai. Understand? And we can't come up. Re'eh Hashem v'abita, which is the line right out of Echa. Hashem, look down and see. V'hashev shechinatcha l'har meromecha. Bring your shechinah back to your lofty mountain. V'kar tifartecha l'vei pechiratecha. And your glory to the house, your chosen house. And bring your holy fire to the Mizbeach. And we end exactly the same way. But notice that the Eish now and the entire focus of the thing is about the Mikdash and about the different components of the Mikdash that are missing. Now, am I asking anybody to say this instead of that? No. But I'll tell you what motivated us to write this. What motivated us to write this is every year, I didn't get this as much, my colleagues got it much more, but every year, getting more and more requests, pleas from friends saying, I just can't say this, but I want it to be meaningful. And finally, we sort of like it broke. And I think my teacher is yelling out Shakran, so it was like the straw that broke the camel's back, and so we finally rolled our sleeves up and did the work and wrote it. If people say it in addition, if people say it in some other context instead of in Shmoneh Esrei, people say it instead. And if all it does is to raise some consciousness and awareness about what it is that we're truly mourning, then that's also Shehitei Zot Scharenu. But again, the idea that, I will tell you, I'll be saying this as Tisha B'Av, is that the idea of standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and speaking words that are genuine words that reflect the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, I think is a very important piece of that relationship. And where it moves to, it'll move to. Somebody then pointed out in some of the discussions that took place today that besides the whole thing of the Nosach, he said, Tisha B'Av has changed radically in the last 30 years. He said, you know, we don't realize it, but if you go to the Kotel on Tisha B'Av, at the end of Tisha B'Av, what do you see? The very end of Tisha B'Av, what do you see? A huge kumzitz going on. Kumzitz. Do you understand what kumzitz means? What does it mean? Kumzitz, which means let's sit together and sing. And you on every NCS wire in Israel in a huge circle and all sorts of other guys, the whole range. Charedim, Chardalnikim, Datim, the whole range, all sitting in a big circle and singing. If you think about it, that is a tremendously different spirit than Tisha B'Av was 30, 40 years ago. Tisha B'Av should be sitting quietly on your own, not talking to anybody, not hugging people, and swaying in a circle. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but Tisha B'Av has certainly changed. And the way that people look at it and think about it is very different. Question is, should that be something that's reflected in tefillah? And that's something that the debate will go on. And Ari and I will debate it next year too. Mirtz Hashem. And next year, hopefully, a moot issue, and we'll debate it as nostalgia. Okay.